My God. Woo. I will say those lips are anointed. Amen. My. Oh, man. Y'all keep playing softly. Come on. Wow. Praise God. And they dedicated that to the memory of our dearly beloved sister. I can hear her saying, come on up, preacher. Come on up. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word? Yeah, make it plain. Yeah. What a blessed soul she was. We're gonna read a few verses in Romans chapter 5, and then we're gonna watch a video that captures the essence of what we wish to teach on today, and then we will follow that with a message for today. Romans chapter 5. If you found it, say I've got it. Those that still need a help, say give me a second, preacher. Take your time. Take your time. Romans chapter 5. Amen. Was that David Larry singing? It looked like him. I'm not sure. I wasn't sure. It looks like him. Yeah. Looks so like him. Well, I tell you, all these gifts up in here. What you going to do next? I'm talking to somebody. But what you got? Amen. All right. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Listen as I read from the Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we are so grateful for all that we've experienced thus far. We're grateful for the memory that we share now of Sister Medlock. We're grateful for what she meant to us as a church, family and friends, even community. And Father, our hearts are heavy, but we still have joy because we know where she is. Now, Father, as we press forward toward today's message, I ask that you would give us what we need, Lord God, that you speak to each of our hearts, specifically as it relates to our joy. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would just have your way today in the midst of us, as you've already done. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for first loving us. And Lord, we submit this prayer to you by faith in the name of Jesus. Let everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Imagine for a moment that you have millions of dollars in the bank. Now imagine that you never spend a dime of it and live in poverty. Are you rich? Yes. But if you don't enjoy your riches, then in your practical experience, it's as if you have nothing. As believers, we've received Christ. But God's intention isn't just for us to have Christ, it's for us to enjoy Him to the uttermost. Many of us find that the joy we experience when we first receive Christ can fade away. But the Bible shows us how we can maintain the joy of our salvation. First, we can confess our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." As soon as we confess our sins, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. By this, our fellowship with Christ, the source of our joy, is restored. Second, we can feed on God's word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Your words were found and I ate them, and your word became to me the gladness and joy of my heart." It's hard to be joyful when we're hungry, but when we pray over God's word to eat it as spiritual food, it nourishes, satisfies, and makes us glad. Third, we can pray. John 16:24 says, "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full." When we pour out our heart to the Lord in prayer, the things that weigh us down are lifted, and we sense a deep joy and refreshment. Finally, we can fellowship with others who love the Lord. 1 John 1, 3-4 says, "That you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write that our joy may be made full." The greatest enjoyment for a Christian is to be with others who love and enjoy Christ. Our salvation is like a rock that can never be shaken. But the joy of our salvation is like a delicate flower that needs to be cultivated every day. By practicing to confess our sins, feed on God's word, pray to the Lord, and fellowship with other Christians, we'll enjoy Christ and live a joyful Christian life.
Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful thematic lesson in that video that helps us to understand the value of our joy. We're in a series entitled Emotionally Fit to Finish. And we've been dealing with, thus far, the emotion of bitterness and anger. But I wanted to help us to understand that there are some emotions that are rather favorable, but perhaps we've yet to tap into them. And when we tap into these, it's amazing how it affects all the others. Our message moment says this: believers are recipients of Jesus' joy through our relationship with Him. It's in there. It's in there. And one of the themes in the video we saw said, what would it mean to have $1 million in the bank but live a life of poverty? Yeah. And many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we simply do not live lives that reflect the joy of the Lord. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. He has suggested that we believers are far too easily pleased. Meaning this, we accept the trappings of life. We accept the fleeting pleasures of life while bypassing the eternal, lasting pleasure of joy. We're like little children who would prefer a mud pie over a delicate prepared meal. We take the stuff that we see and we somehow manufacture that into temporary happiness while bypassing the eternal joy that lies within the soul of every believer. So I want to ask the question. The believer has joy, but why is it that most of us don't seem joyful? The believer, you are the recipient of joy. But there seems to be a disconnect between the possession of the joy and the manifestation of the joy in our lives. See, we've got it, but are we using it? We've got it, but there is no evidence that it is in our lives. Now, I did my research, and I look back. I've preached on joy at least 3 times at Greater Bethlehem Baptist Church. And one of the reasons I found myself preaching and teaching on joy, it's because our encounters with each other don't typically lend itself to joyful encounters. Y'all help me preach this, if you will. And so it's hard for a person on the outside looking in, saying, wait a minute, y'all the ones with the joy, but ain't nobody smiling. Y'all help me teach this. Y'all are the ones who communicate that something happens when I receive my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But when I reflect and look at your life, I see no display, no manifestation of said joy. Y'all, we're opting for mud pies when the Lord is trying to give us filet mignon. So then, Pastor Brown, help me to understand then this joy. I've heard joy. Joy seems to have more than one meaning. Well, in my research, y'all, I'm discovering two things about joy. Get ready to write. Joy is a fruit. Get that down. A fruit, a product of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a product, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not to be misconstrued with gifts of the Holy Spirit. Gifts are given according to faith, according to measure. Those are distributed within the body of Christ. And so often we don't understand that everybody receives the fruit of joy. So you may not have the gift of singing like David Larry, but you got the gift of joy. Y'all help me preach this. So it is a product that the Holy Spirit has deposited within the heart and soul of every believer. Joy is also, get ready to write, an emotion given to believers to center us. To center us. When I was a kid, I had this little balloon ball game. Can't remember the name of it, but you knock it, you hit it in the head, and it'd go down and come back up. I mean, you hit it hard. 1, 2, 3. It'd go down, and it would come back up. And the bottom line is the balloon was able to get knocked down and rise back up because of what was at its base. I'm preaching already. It was centered, it was grounded in something that was weightier than the rest of the body. So you can knock it all around. It may fall down, but it'll come back up. Child of God, that's what has been deposited into the heart of every believer, and that is Jesus' joy. And you got to understand that when you've got joy, you may get knocked down, you may get talked about, but the child of God who has joy rises back up again. Somebody say joy. So it's a fruit, it's a product of the Holy Spirit. And it's an emotion also that's given to believers to center us. So joy is a wonderful thing. But I need for you to understand, child of God, y'all look at me. I need you to understand something. If you found your life lacks joy, talking to believers, it's not because God hadn't given it to you. I need you to get that. Now, we're going to dig a little deeper in the days, weeks, and months to come. There are some issues that may affect us tapping into the joy. That's something. But most of us, we've just hadn't taken the time to unearth all that God has put into us with our salvation. And so we allow ourselves to go into the experience of salvation, but we never develop what the Lord has planted on the inside. Teach, Pastor Brown. So in this passage, Romans chapter 5, which is why the Lord led me there, Paul is teaching us the joyful occurrences of our salvation. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith. Stop right there. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith. This is what happens at your moment, your point of salvation, of conversion. Number one, get ready to write. We have been declared righteous. I'm trying to give you something to shout about. Declared righteous. That means, positionally speaking, we are right with God. Now, that righteousness that we are declared is based upon, get ready to write, our faith. Our faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's unpack that for just a moment. So we have received this free gift of salvation by grace through faith, and we are then recipients of righteousness. See, you understand something? Y'all look at me. Y'all are righteous. Don't mean you're right all the time. Amen. Don't mean you're perfect. But it does mean that when the Lord looks at you, watch this, he doesn't see your sinful foolishness. I need a witness up in here. He don't see your lies and your deceit. He doesn't see your waywardness, but what he sees is the blood. The blood of Jesus that has washed your sins and made you white as snow. Somebody say righteous. Now, it's going to make you uncomfortable, but go on and believe it and say, I'm righteous. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. See, if you say it enough, you'll start acting like it. It's hard to declare I'm righteous and cuss at the same time. Some of y'all laughing too hard. Y'all stay with me now. It's hard to say I'm righteous and have a bad attitude all the time. It's hard to declare I'm righteous and just live any kind of way. At a certain point, you're going to have to come into agreement with what you profess to believe. Somebody say righteous. But understand this, even with the righteousness that comes from God, there are even more blessings that we can experience. The text is moving. The text says we have peace with God. Wow, let's go back to that whole first verse. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that before you received the gift of salvation, you were an enemy to God? Do you understand what Jesus did for you? You were, and there was enmity between you and God. There was a gulf, a chasm, a separation between you and God. But because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, he says here in the text that we have peace with God. So we have peace with the Father through the Son. Jesus has reconciled us to the Father, a relationship that had previously been broken due to sin and disobedience. Somebody say peace with God. But here's what I need us to fully receive and to walk into. That peace from God, peace with God, means that you can live a life of peace. So our lives don't have to be so chaotic, so inconsistent. You know, some of us walk around as if we're still guilty. Y'all help me preach this. We live our lives as if we're still guilty. I make this plain. See, in America, we have a judicial system that applies the rule of double jeopardy. Double jeopardy means you cannot get tried again for the same crime. I'm going to shout you in just a moment. And so what you got to understand, child of God, that Jesus has already stood trial for you. And so you can't be prosecuted for your sin. No, Jesus was already, oh, I need a witness up in here. He was falsely accused. He served the penalty and the punishment, so you can't be charged for that sin no more. Why don't you operate in the peace of God, child of God? I don't know about y'all, but I need more peace in my life. I know I got some peace, but I need a little more peace. That kind of peace that when people cut me off, I'm still cool. That kind of peace when folk talk about me, I don't have to investigate it. That kind of peace, listen, when the money is short, I got enough peace to know that God will make a way. And so I ain't got to pull out the hair I have left. I can be seated, clothed, and in my right mind. Why? Because I got peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. You ain't got to agree with me, but you got to know I got some peace with the situation. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Somebody say peace. Come on, peace. We have peace with the Father through the Son. But then secondly, We have access. Oh, I like that by myself. He says in verse 2, we have also, not only peace, we have also obtained access through him by faith into this grace in which we stand. Somebody say access. So we have access to the Father through the Son. Jesus has given us continual relationship with the Father. Now this access is important because previously the people would have to go through a priest to get their prayers to the Lord. They had to go to a priest and to the temple. Got to bring an offering and a sacrifice. And you can't just come empty-handed like we come to church today. Oh, no. You got to bring a lamb or a sheep, or maybe a sheep is a lamb, but you got to bring something. Chicken or something, I don't know. Squirrel. Got to bring something. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ has done, a scripture says there is a wall. There is a partition that has been destroyed because of his death, burial, and resurrection. And as a consequence, watch this, we now have access. Now, I said that to say, you don't even need the preacher to get to God. All you need to do is get down on your knees. I need a witness up in here and said, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help. Don't need nobody. The Lord Jesus has given you access where there was previously brokenness and fellowship. He bridged that gulf. So I'm trying to plant a seed of expectation about Jesus' joy. See, you're going to understand eventually that all this stuff that happens to you, when you're centered in Christ, yes, it's going to hurt. Yes, it's going to knock you back. It may even knock you down. But because of being centered on the Lord, you're going to rise. I wish I could do that Matrix thing. You're going to rise back up. And look at your neighbor and say, rise. Come on, come on. Tell him to rise. Tell him to rise. Tell him to rise. Tell him to rise. So in this text, Paul moves on to explain, which is the center of our message for today, what I call Jesus' joy. This is the third benefit of our salvation. Write that down. Joy. This is the third benefit, according to this text, of our salvation. So, Pastor Brown, it's a benefit. I think I got that. It's a benefit. But how do we get there? Well, the key to the believer's joy is the source of the joy, which is Jesus Christ. Get that down. Y'all should be taking good notes right now. Come on. Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' joy. This is Jesus' joy. So I want you to catch this picture. Since Christ is in me and I am in him, then he becomes the constant anchor for my joy. See, this is how you can experience and know Jesus' joy. Jesus Christ in you becomes your anchor. He's the source. He's the strength. He's the supply of your joy. And where he unites with you, he brings joy. The text says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Three things real quickly. Number one, beloved, I need you to rejoice in hope. Get that down. Rejoice in hope. Wait, Pastor. What am I hopeful for? Your hope because of God's glory. You're hoping in what he's already done. You're hoping what is to come. Because you understand that God will be glorified. Listen, with or without our consent. But God will be glorified, and you're placing your hope in that everything that I am, everything that I do falls in alignment with His will and ultimately His glory for my life. And I can rejoice in that hope. Jesus is our hope. Y'all, I call on that. I call on that. Moment by moment, when I find myself frustrated with life, moment by moment, I call on that. When I find myself at whatever end I may be at, I rejoice in the hope of His glory. So on your sheet there it says, Jesus' joy stands upon the firm hope that we have Him. Now, right now, you're thinking, Pastor, I got some stuff happening in my life. And I just find it really difficult to experience joy. Nowhere in this passage is he communicating that you're not going to go through some stuff. We're going to get to that real specifically in just a moment. So I need for you to understand something, y'all. The joy of the Lord is independent of these circumstances. You got to believe and you got to receive and you got to operate in that. Now, we're not talking happiness. See, too much of the world wants happiness, but what you don't understand is when circumstances shift, so do the happiness. But joy is independent of circumstances. That's why it is rooted in Christ. And so Christ then becomes the source of the joy, and that then affects other areas of your life. Yes, you can cry and still have joy. You can go through situations and still have joy because your hope is beyond the situation. So rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. The text is moving. The text is moving. It says, not only that, verse 3, but we also rejoice in our afflictions. Uh-oh. Some of y'all fell asleep. Wake up your neighbor. They need to catch this. They ain't praying. Now, wait a minute. I can rejoice in hope. I got that. I'm good. Let me leave on that note. Now, Paul is talking about something that is foreign to me. Paul says, we also rejoice, same joy from Christ that we received in him. We rejoice in our suffering. Afflictions, because we know, keep reading, we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces more hope. My goodness, man. See, you got to understand, child of God, hope is what keeps us going. If all we do is watch news and television and all this stuff that's happening in our world, you talk about losing hope. And unfortunately, that's all some of us do, is we watch the stuff and we talk about the stuff and we analyze the stuff and then we do it again the next day. So he says, number one, he says, rejoice in hope. Number two, he says, rejoice in difficulty. Get that down. Rejoice, rejoice. In difficulty. Now you can do that because of God's plan. Because of his plan. Wait. Okay, so he says, he's building a case. So I'm rejoicing in these difficult situations, these affliction. But I'm able to rejoice because I know some things. You're not just walking around skipping and hopping. Oh, I lost my job. Woo! And number one, that's not joy in the first place. But for the sake of my illustration, I lost my job. Woo! My car getting repossessed. Yay! My marriage has ended. Woohoo! Oh, some of y'all really, y'all need to watch that. See, I have to practice all of my illustrations on people because I never know how y'all going to take stuff. Some of y'all really like, woo-hoo! No. That's not God's will. That ain't his will. I know. Let me stop. Come on, y'all come back. Y'all, some of y'all left the building. Stay with me. Let me hurry up. 27 minutes in. But anyway, we can rejoice in the external affliction. Watch this, because we know some things. Because we understand that when I go through these afflictions with my hope securely in Christ Jesus, watch this, that is going to produce endurance. What is endurance? The ability to go through some stuff. Y'all got to see this secular, this cycle of circular blessings. You go through some stuff so that you can be stronger when you go through some stuff. I need a witness up in here. So here's what Paul helps me to understand. Listen, I'm going to go through some stuff. That's a part of life. That there is nothing that's going to change me going through some stuff. I'm going to lose some loved ones. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lose some employment. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lose some relationships. Thank you, Lord. Some of us can honestly say, I'm going to at times lose my mind, but you're going to give it back. Thank you, Lord. But as I go through this stuff, with my hope permanently fixed upon Christ and his glory, watch this. He's going to give me endurance. He's going to give me power to keep going through. And then my character will be built up. And I will be in private who I am in public. I won't just be raising my hands on Sunday, but I'll be raising my hands on Saturday night. Need a witness up in here. I'm trying to teach it, man. Rejoice in difficulty. Then he ends that thing talking about hope. Comes back to hope. And I believe he comes back to hope because he understands that for the child of God, hope is hard to hold on to. We're praying for loved ones to come to faith. We praying for relationships to be restored. And every time we think we've gotten close, that enemy jumps in and does something else. So we start losing hope. You pouring into people, trying to help people's lives to be better. And then they just keep going back to what you helped them to get away from. But let me tell you something about going through difficulty and rejoicing in difficulty. The Lord has a way of taking us through these seasons. And while we're going through, we feel isolated and alone, but we don't recognize that he's there the whole time. Took my kids to the doctor recently, and it's the weirdest thing. In the doctor's office for children, there's a playroom. There's a playroom, if you notice. There's a playroom. And so you bring your child to the doctor, and they have a moment of joy in the midst of their pain. God, I feel that. Now, they understand that beyond that door is some injection, some craziness. They understand that they are sick. They understand that all is not well. But while they're playing for just that season, they say, you know what? It ain't all that bad. Child of God, that's how God works in our lives. Things may not be going your way. They may not be going my way, but God has a way of giving us that joy, which is a playroom for our soul. That regardless of what's happening around us, we are still centered upon him until he works all that stuff out. We still have joy. And I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I need you to tap into the joy that the Lord has already placed inside of you. You've yet to tap into it. You've been unhappy. You've been unsettled. You've been unfriendly, but the joy is there. Child of God, tap into it. So we got to rejoice in hope. We got to rejoice in difficulty. Thirdly and finally, we're finished. You got to rejoice in God's love in our hearts. Rejoice in God's love, which is in our hearts. Look at verse 5, and we're finished. He said, this hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. First thing I want you to see is hope never disappoints. Hope never disappoints. Hope is not just blind ambition. Hope is putting your faith and your trust in the one who is hope for you. You know that God never disappoints. Hope does not disappoint us. And if ever we have seen God's love demonstrated in our lives, we saw his love demonstrated on the cross of Calvary. We don't ever have to worry or wonder if his love is real or if it is sincere. So he says, rejoice in the love of God that is in our hearts now through the Holy Spirit. I'm finished. But I need for you to prepare to walk out of here right now, tapping into that joy that's in your heart. I want you to listen carefully. Listen carefully. He says, this hope will not disappoint us. Many of us are so frustrated and cynical in our lives because everything and everyone has disappointed us. Our lives hadn't worked out the way we had hoped. Our relationships hadn't turned out the way we had hoped. And so we walk around day in and day out in constant disappointment. But I'm here to let you know God is not a God of disappointment. He can take the leftover fragments of our broken lives and he can put them together. And listen, it'll be better than what we even asked for or imagined. But you gotta have hope that he can do it. He takes your hope. He works with you. Don't you think it's time for you to tap into that joy? Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, we're grateful right now for the simplicity and the power of your word. Father, we understand fully that Jesus' joy is ours. Father, in all honesty, we hadn't operated in it. We hadn't tapped into it. We've just been kind of walking around disappointed and hopeless. So, Father, we're grateful for the reminder today that you've given us peace and access through Christ. You've made us right before you. And, Father, you've given us, thank you, Lord, joy. And Lord, that joy is connected to our hope. So Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every situation, circumstance that has been most debilitating, most discouraging. Those situations that seem to just repeatedly take us out. Father, even as I pray, I'm reminded that some of us are so disappointed that some mornings we can't get out of bed. Some days we're so disappointed that we don't want to come home. Some days we're so disappointed that we don't want to talk or deal with anybody. So, Father, I pray that we would reclaim the hope that you've given to us. It's in our hearts. Help us, Father God, by faith to overcome these feelings of extreme sadness and disappointment. Father, I believe that you can do more than any medicine can do. So, Lord, I ask in faith that you begin to touch the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, give us that Jesus joy. Help us to tap into that Jesus joy. Father, that song said, I have joy in sorrow hope for tomorrow because he got up from the grave. Father, we trust you. We love you. We surrender to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Come on, give God your best hand of praise. Come on. With a joyful heart.